En 'n hartlike goeie môre en welkom by ons program Skriftuurlik, waar ons weekliks saam na oplossings soek uit die skrifte vir vrae waarmee gewone mense sukkel. Die Bybel sê in Johannes 17:17, U woord is waarheid, heilig hulle na U woord. En Psalm 119:105 sê, U woord is 'n lamp vir my voete en 'n lig vir my pad. Kom dan saam met ons vir die volgende uur, wanneer ons geen steen onaangeraak laat om die waarheid te vind en lig te skyn op die vrae uit die skrifte waarmee ek en jy moontlik kan worstel nie. Kry dus gou jou Bybel en kom ondersoek saam met ons die skrifte. Dis mos nou skriftuurlik.
Real Radio for real people serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
Yeah, the Bible says anything else is but dust. Real radio for real people worshiping a real God. The God of Israel, the God of Abram, Isaac, Jacob, the God of the prophets of old, and that's the one that we worship. So that one coughing there in the background, yeah. Did you make it, Pastor Stevenson? Good morning to you, sir. Are you well?
I did, thank you. I'm here and happy to be here. Thank you, Vaynard.
Right. You can hear he's still not firing exactly on all his pistons, but by the grace of the good Lord, he is here. And thank you so much, Skriftuurlik. Tot en met 12 uur vanoggend, as jy jou vraag wil instuur. En ons is nou al 'n geruime tyd besig. How long we've been busy with the scriptural? Skriftuurlik now, Rocky? 3 years? 2 years?
I think it was beginning of last year that we started.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. A little bit before.
All right.
We're going, maybe September the year before.
All right, we're going for 2 years now, and still questions coming in on a daily basis that sometimes absolutely boggles the mind, and you think, wow, why didn't I think of that? So, the questions this morning, jy stuur dit na 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. Dis welkom die frekwensie waarop ons uitsaai, 'n nommertjie 2 in die middel en die frekwensie van Radio Kaapse Kansel makes for a very unique number. Sideline remark, you want to meet Pastor Rocky face to face? You can do so by going to either the YouTube channel or Facebook live streaming. We're Facebook live streaming at the moment, and you can see there he's sitting, all smiles, ready, raring to go, and waiting for your question. So stuur dit vir ons in, 082-657-2729. Many people say, where can I listen to it afterwards? Well, you can either find it on Facebook channel or the Facebook, let me get my platform and channels right. Yeah, it's YouTube channel and Facebook platform. That's where you can find it, and we also podcasted for you as well. En as jy die telefoonnommer gemis het deur die loop van die program, kan jy net ingeskakel bly. Ons sal gereeld die nommer vir jou gee. Iemand het iets gesê in die skrif, dit maak nie vir jou sin nie, en jy wil weet wat sê die woord van die Here daaroor. Rocky, let's kick off with the current tensions this weekend. Absolutely a mind-blowing weekend. Saturday night, I was lying in my bed watching on live streaming the attack between Persia of old and Israel, nowadays known as Iran. You know the saying, I came, I saw, I ran. And so we were watching that, including the potential missile attacks and the talk of a wider war that we see in the Middle East. So we are watching a fulfillment of the prophecies of Magog and Gog in Ezekiel. Is it, in fact, what Ezekiel is talking about? Is this what we see happening right here in our midst? Is that what Ezekiel 38 is talking about? Or should we wait for another event that will fulfill that prophecy?
Yeah, so that's a fascinating question. And I think there's a lot of chatter at the moment and a lot of talk regarding, is this what we see in Ezekiel 38? And what a fantastic prophecy to go and see and to go and look at. And part of the purpose that we see of this eschatological prophecy is that the world will know that he is God, like what happened with regard to Israel with Egypt before, as God took Israel out of captivity from Egypt. We also see that Gog and Magog and this attack, this future attack that will take place while Israel hasn't got walls and hasn't got gates and they dwelling once again in the land is so that the holiness of God will become known to the world and to all peoples that even attack here. So it is a fascinating question, and there are many people that are pondering regarding this. But the Ezekiel 38 prophecy in the book of Ezekiel describes this future large-scale invasion of Israel by Gog and Magog. And while interpreters actually vary regarding this, some do believe that Gog represents a specific enemy nation. In fact, a nation from the north, which by all means could be Russia, and I say could be because we're not exactly sure yet, and you do see a wide-scale attack of Israel, and in particular Jerusalem even, that is a future event. But there's also other areas within Ezekiel 38 that still need to be fulfilled.
So is Ezekiel 38 talking about Armageddon, or is it just talking about the general events, attacks on Israel?
Yeah, I believe that Ezekiel 38 is speaking about events before Armageddon.
All right.
And actually, okay. What you find is that there are key areas to even look at regarding Ezekiel 38, because there is this ongoing conflict right now that we look at between Israel and Iran that undoubtedly is really intense. And you actually, I've been waiting to see what Israel will do, and I know that there's a lot that are waiting to see what Israel will do regarding this attack, which was an unprecedented attack in all of history. I mean, we've never ever had such a large scale attack by one sovereign nation towards another sovereign nation, as far as drones, as far as ballistic missiles, as far as, I mean, if you think about just atmospheric, it was actually, I think, something of a miracle. Right. Many people will say it's just the brilliance of Israel's defense force, but actually it's the brilliance of the God of Israel, because he has looked after his people Israel. But some of the key points to actually consider is the restoration of Israel. And if you know the map of Israel and you know some of the ways that Israel is split up at the moment, the prophecy actually describes a fully restored Israel in Ezekiel 38, which we haven't yet seen, even though Israel received its land back in 1948 and they've reestablished and they've gotten back into the land. The land of Israel has not been properly restored yet. We still have...
By the original boundaries of the promised land.
Yes, some of those original boundaries. I think that that we will see in the millennial reign of Christ the full extent of land being given, the land that was prophesied to Abraham in Genesis 12 and other places, where that full extent of the land. But we do see that Israel receives back its land. And if you notice, even right now, and you go and look at the map of Israel, Israel is very small, actually.
If you actually think about the size of the Kruger National Park.
And actually even a little bit smaller, because you have it split up, because you've got the West Bank and you've got Gaza and you've got the Palestinian territories that are there. But what we see in Ezekiel 38 would seem like a united Jerusalem that isn't actually split up, and the city would not be divided like it is right now. And so this could mean then the reuniting city in its full access. And
Are you talking about the divided city, the Armenian quarters, the Jewish quarters, the Muslim quarters? Are you talking about a divided city?
Yeah, so I'm saying that what we see in Ezekiel 38 is actually a reunited Israel that goes beyond what we currently see.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that I believe that Ezekiel 38 is still something yet to come. I think that we may be heading towards that place where Israel is united. And I think that we do see some of those pressure points. And I don't want to get like too, I think, mystical with it. And I think what a Christian should do is continue to do what the Christian ought to do. Study the Bible, know what God's plan is, even for Persia, as you mentioned it. And I mean, Iran is actually not mentioned in Ezekiel 38, but Persia is. And that's another key that I think we can look at. Is it possible that Iran will cease to be Iran and actually start to take up the old biblical name of Persia? We actually even see Ethiopia in Ezekiel 38. But right now, if you go and look at the defense force of Ethiopia, they're no longer such a world power, but they could be strategically based on where they are geopolitically. But even last year, they had some peace between a rebel group and the defense force of Ethiopia. So their military needs desperate upgrading to become something of a world power once more. And so my suspicion based on Ezekiel 38 and others, and I do take a literal approach to studying eschatological passages within the scriptures, which I believe is the most biblical approach to take is to say that there's a lot that may still happen future-wise regarding what we see in Iran. But also Syria plays a huge part in this, and this has been an interesting thing to look at on Saturday. On Sunday, some of the news that came through is that Syria actually was also shooting down some of the missiles that were coming over from Iran. Yeah. And Damascus plays a huge part. We do see that Russia has already got some troops stationed on the Golan Heights. Russia has said that they will also get involved if America gets involved, and they will even help in defending Iran on whatever counterattack that Israel gives towards Iran. So we do see some massive tensions, but I would caution the Christian to say, let's not be sensational regarding these things. God has told us that there will be wars and rumors of wars. We do know that we are in the end times, so we need to get busy with the gospel message that God has given us to give to the world. We should stay informed by keeping to, and I mean, that's one thing that we do see in our day with social media, etc., is that we sometimes get so much bad news and bad. I would recommend somebody like Amir Tsafati, who's on Telegram. He's excellent with keeping you
up to date. If you're looking for truth, yes.
If you're looking for truth on what we see happening in Israel and very live kind of footage. But it is amazing to see, and even when we think about the passage that was spoken about just before we came on, when it spoke about I think it was talking about Matthew 28, or it was maybe Acts chapter 1, where it was saying, you will receive power from on high when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth.
But what you notice
is that Jerusalem is still the very center point of all of the tensions within this world.
Yeah.
And part of what I'm seeing as well, just from a biblical perspective, I think we're going to see a very big shift in the Middle East area. Because if we get into a place of Ezekiel 38, then Israel needs to be fully united, and it may be that we're heading towards that place, because we've seen what has happened in the Gaza Strip, we've seen some of the tensions in the West Bank, and it may be that we're heading to a place where Israel becomes fully united. What we'd see in Ezekiel 38 is that they're at peace. They're fully at peace before this thought comes into the mind of Gog and Magog to then attack.
Rocky, can I ask you this? When we zoom out from what you're saying now, isn't it the preparation for the Antichrist?
I think that we're heading towards that, definitely. You know, if we think of just the massive shifts in our world
of nations at the moment, all over.
Even what we've seen in the last, you know, since 2020, and this ramping up for some of the global agendas of 2030, it's actually quite something to see. You know, people are talking about being in a new era since the solar eclipse and things, and I don't know if we really are necessarily in a new era. It does seem that we may even be already in World War III without necessarily knowing it.
Yeah.
If we look at some of the tensions that there are with Russia, Ukraine, we look at now Russia's involved also with Syria and Iran against Israel, and you've got Taiwan and China and India, and you've got all of these massive tensions, and we definitely have wars, rumors of wars, and
earthquakes we
and we've got some massive things happening in this world, and maybe we are there, but I would say that we need to be careful as Christians to stick to what we see on the scriptures. We must focus on our walk with the Lord Jesus. We must focus on being those that are filled with the Spirit of God and being those that are walking in step with Him and giving the gospel to the nations, because God has been patient with the nations.
Yeah.
He has continued to have a patience. And here we are in the southern part of Africa. The gospel has gone out to all the edges of the world. And we need to be those that are continuing to have much boldness in Christ. You see how bold Satan and his forces are.
Yeah.
The Christian ought to be all the more bold in regard to giving out the gospel to the world. And then also we should be praying for peace. I think that's another right response for Christians. I think we've got to be careful that we're not so drawn to some of the conflict that we start to saying, okay, but these guys should kill those guys, or these ones should kill those ones. We must recognize that even what we've seen with Israel, they are a secular state that has rejected the Messiah, yet they are still the nation of God.
Yeah.
They are the apple of God's eye. And if God can look after Israel like he has, even this last weekend, it's absolutely mind-blowing to see the way in which they were able to shoot down these missiles all over. What a fireworks display, apparently costing them about $1 billion to actually shoot down all the drones and all of the cruise
and
missiles.
Also the
and
incoming
all of these ballistic
stories
things.
Of the ballistic missiles blowing up before launching.
Yes, almost half of them.
Half of them blowing up before launching.
Now, God definitely looked after his people Israel. Yeah. Now, if God could do that, that, and he does do that,
yeah,
for his covenant people Israel, how much more will he look after his church who loves him and are called according to his purpose?
What a beautiful thing.
And how much
thing.
More should, yeah, we then give the gospel to the Jew first and to the Gentile?
Yeah.
You know, we should be telling the Jews, look at how your God has looked after you. You say you worship Yahweh. Worship him in fullness by worshiping, yeah, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you come to the Father.
Right. Gladys Mbeni Kobeni, thank you so much. She says, love this discussion. All children of God are listening to this. We are in the end times. Thank you, Gladys. The telephone number, the WhatsApp number in studio, if you want to pose a question, is 082-657-2729. That's the only way that you can take part in the program, in the discussion this morning. As jy 'n vraag het, stuur dit vir ons in 082-657-2729. Baie welkom, en ons sal dit na aanleiding dan van die skrifte hanteer. Rocky, we've spoken about so many people worried at the moment, and you know, what does Ezekiel 38 says, and Gog and Magog, and the Bible speaks in, I think it is Isaiah 17, of Damascus being totally flattened. We haven't seen that as yet. Damascus is still standing. My question, you said we should still spread the gospel of peace. What should the church be doing in times like this? Not choosing sides. You've stated that very clearly, but we see these global tensions, these wars, rumors of wars.
Yeah.
What is your message to the body of Christ, those who says, Jesus is God, he's my King, my Savior, my Redeemer? What should the church do right now?
Yeah, I think that we should be those that are constantly seeking the guidance of the Lord by prayer and supplication. We ought to be a holy people before him. And when I say not choosing sides, we want to be on God's side with regard to these things. You'll remember that the way that the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, was standing there when Joshua was coming into the land. And he says, whose side are you on? He says, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on God's side.
Yeah.
And you find Joshua humbling himself before him and taking off. And he says, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. Like what had happened with Moses before at the burning bush.
Yeah.
And the big aspect is for us to be on God's side in regard to this, but to be giving the gospel, to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We see that as something that we are called towards as Christians as well, but also really seeking his guidance. Matthew 6 verse 10, Jesus says, when he teaches us how to pray, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should be seeking God's guidance, and we should be interceding for peace and for justice in our world, and we should do the right thing, no matter how much that costs us. And I do think that Christians ought to become all the more emboldened by the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's Word, we ought to be those that are a voice inside of the generation that we are living in. And many a times I think we have lost our voice. We've become too inwardly focused, many times even fighting amongst one another. You know, remember what even the Apostle Paul said in Philippians. He rejoiced even when people were giving the gospel for wrong gain.
Yeah.
You were saying that the gospel's been given up.
Philippians 1:18,
The Lord is being honored.
Yeah.
And in the sense of the gospel being given, God's word never returns to him void. And I think that we need to be those that stand firm upon his word, not neglecting the gathering together of ourselves as we see the day drawing near. Many a times we've made too much of an internal thing regarding our personal walk with Jesus. No, this is also a collective walk with Jesus. And so we should proclaim the gospel, keep on proclaiming the gospel, even in times where there's these tensions and there's wars and rumors of wars, proclaim the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus commands us to be those that make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey his commands. So the gospel brings about hope, and we do see that there's much hopelessness in our day because of what we see in the world. And then we should be a people that promote peace and reconciliation as well amongst people. You know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew 5 verse 9, where Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. If anybody knows how to find peace, it's the Christian. And if we look at the world, you know, we've seen what James 4 teaches about why are there wars amongst you, why are there conflicts amongst you, because your passions wage war within you. We know the way of peace because we know Christ. And then we should also be ready to care for the vulnerable as well as for the needy in our world. I do think that the Christian ought to be the one that actually cares the most for those that are hungry, that are thirsty, that are battling. The Bible even teaches us to love our enemies. Who are the ones that are our enemies? Who are the ones that are cutting off the heads of Christians in this world? Who are the ones that are attacking us? Pray for them. They are under such a delusion and they are under such a bondage that we must watch our own hearts that we're not embittered, because Jesus says, or God says, vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. So we leave vengeance to him, and we are ones that operate very differently than the world. And I would say even to the Christian, be careful of how you behave on social media and on these platforms, that we can easily actually dishonor Christ in these ways. We want to be those that honor him. And then we need to have, I believe, a witness to this world by having unity within the body of Christ in a way that honors him. As Ephesians 4 verse 3 urges us, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Hebrews 10 verse 23 says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then remembering just the fact that God is faithful to us.
All right.
And isn't he just so faithful?
Amen. Can't agree with you more. We serve a faithful God. What a faithful God we have. Let's keep this listener anonymous from Boksburg. Thank you so much. Says, firstly, how must one believer encourage a fellow believer that God will heal him? It's all typed in capital letters here. When the believer is diagnosed with prostate cancer, that God will heal him when the believer is diagnosed with prostate cancer. Rocky, to what extent can we encourage one another? Sometimes we, in our eagerness to speak life, say, well, God will heal you. You just hang in there. You know, exercise faith. And then we find it that sometimes God does not heal that individual. To what extent can we go in encouraging a fellow believer who is sick?
Yeah, I think that we can. I think we do need to take caution, because we do find ourselves sometimes being optimistic in such a way that we think that our optimism is faith.
Yeah.
And we need to not be those that foolishly almost ignore something of the cause that may be behind what we're going through. We do see in the scriptures something like James 5, where it says, call on the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and confess your sins to one another. At times, we need to recognize, and there's a few principles that we need to recognize. One, we're in a sinful world that is broken. We are east of the Garden of Eden, and we are south of heaven. And so we are in a broken world.
Yes.
And we also go through the same things that the unbelievers in this world go through. And one of the reasons that we do go through what they go through is so that the world will look at us and go, what is this hope that is in you?
Yeah.
Now, hope looks towards something that is future. It looks towards the promises of God. It looks towards the unseen.
Mm.
And sometimes we get confused with this and we think to ourselves, well, all of that must be right now. And we must have all of this now. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. There is a spiritual realm that is far greater than this physical realm that we are in, that we are often encumbered by with regard to things like prostate cancer.
Right.
Or we've got a dear brother in our church at the moment. I sent out a message yesterday saying, please pray for this brother. He's having his leg amputated. He's got gangrene in certain places in his leg. And this is something that is hurting Benoni Bible Church at this moment, because we have a brother that is suffering. We are praying for this brother. We are looking at every way of how can we entrust him to God. We know that God is able, just today, able like he was always, to heal him immediately if he so wishes. But God also has his secret counsel. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. He is God. He has the ability and the full right to do all that he wishes to do.
Yeah.
And so I do think we need to be careful that we don't come into the realm where we think of ourselves almost like sangomas that have to have a certain amount of words that need to match a certain thing, and we need to rub the genie bottle the right way, and then we will get what we want from God.
Yeah.
God is God, and he is able to do as what pleases him. But on that first principle, we're in the sinful world, which means that we are sinned against. It also means that we sin against. It also means that we receive something of that curse of the fall. the ground no longer produces like it ought to. It produces thorns and thistles. It's by the sweat of our brow that we eat the food that we eat. We are underneath that curse in this world. And that's why Romans 8 says that we groan with all of creation for that day of redemption. There is a day coming. There is a redemption coming. There is a day coming when Jesus will make everything that is skew straight, and he will make everything that is wrong right. And there is that day coming, and we look forward to that. So our inner being groans, like the Holy Spirit in us groans in Romans 8. So we groan along with all of creation, because even the birds, even the bees, even the world knows that there's something amiss. There's something wrong. There's a reason that creation groans for these things. And so part of that groaning, even when we have something like prostate cancer or something like a gangrene in the foot or the toe, all of this is part of that curse that we are in. And the scriptures also teach us, 2 Corinthians 4, that the outer man fades away, but the inner man is being renewed day by day.
Rocky, and we must be very careful here to start looking for reasons, as in Job, why did this befall you? The blind man, where the disciples ask, who sinned? Was it his parents? Why is this man blind? Because we try and find reasons. Maybe you don't have enough faith. That's why. And we easily turn around and say, maybe that's why the Lord is not healing him, and we must be very careful of things like that.
I think sometimes we actually don't know quite what to say to somebody that is suffering in that situation, and we need to be careful that we don't overlook the suffering that they go through. The Bible does teach us that we should rejoice with those that rejoice, and we should also grieve with those that grieve. And sometimes we actually should say nothing and just be with that person and cry with that person and love that person, and then offer prayer support. You know, we are not God. God is God, and we can come alongside a brother like that, and we can say, hey, how can I help you in this situation that you're facing? But then also we ought to share encouraging scriptures with them. If we know our Bibles, we can take them to like Psalm 41 verse 3 or James 5 verse 14 to 15 or Jeremiah 17, and we can provide hope and assurance to that individual that this life is beyond even this. But there are sometimes practical things that we can help with as well. Now, depending on the relationship that you have. Now, here I would also just give caution, because sometimes, I mean, it's amazing how much advice you can get when you're in trouble. And nobody's looking into the advice more than the person that's in trouble. So sometimes we actually just need, and I think in our South African context as well, we tend to have this attitude with one another of, well, have you actually tried eating 7 oranges every day? And have you tried having 2 apples a day and 7 oranges and 15 of the, and we give all of this advice. I think we need to be careful depending on our relationship with that individual. But sometimes there are practical things that need to be looked at, because we often live in a society that goes, and it's almost a surgical society. If it's wrong, cut it off. If it's off, get it out. But sometimes there is an underlying reason why that thing is existing there. And sometimes, even though we've said we need to be cautious about saying, is this sin, did his parents sin, did his, etc. But sometimes there may be an underlying reason that the Lord God has allowed this to take place in your life so that you might grow near to the Lord. And often it's through pain that we draw nearer to the Lord. Sadly, that is our human existence. When everything's going well and it seems like the sun's shining on our back, it seems like we can easily draw far from God. But in his mercy, he puts us in those positions at times because of his great purposes in our lives.
Spoke to somebody some time back who had a stroke, paralyzed on the left-hand side of the body. Spoke to this individual, and this person said to me, I will take that stroke a million times over because I found my Lord and my Savior in the brokenness of my body. The other thing, Rocky, just a sideline remark that I want to make here is, Paul, who wrote the books of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, Paul speaks about Trophimus that he left behind in Melita, sick. He left him there, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. And Paul, I mean, one of the greatest evangelists of known to mankind. And surely I can imagine Paul must have prayed for him. And he said, well, I've left him behind, sick.
You know? No, the Lord in his mercy actually has his purposes with all of these things. I mean, even right after that, he says, be diligent to come before winter. Eubelius greets you. And it, so he even has practical elements, and he even in 2 Timothy, he actually asks Timothy, please bring a jersey for me, basically, or bring me a blanket and bring me the parchments.
Yeah.
So Paul also had that thorn in his side that he asked God 3 times to remove, which he didn't. And he said, my power is made known in your weakness.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't think like that. We think that it's only God's power must be known in my greatness.
Yeah.
God's power must be known in my health. God's power will be known. And we think to ourselves, hey, you know, if only I can be well, then I can serve the Lord. And I do want to give a caution here. And I had one dear old saint, and I won't mention his name, that I pastored in Middleburg. And this man on his deathbed was, you know, he had cancer and he was on his way out. But he was starting to make bargains with God. God, if you heal me, then I'll go and be a missionary to the Karoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the things he said. He loved to take trips to the Karoo, the I think it was the Kalahari area, and he loved to be up there, and he loved the people of that area. And now it's like you make this deal with God. You know, I've lived my whole life not obeying you in this way. I think maybe the Lord was calling him towards that, but he'd ignored that. But now all of a sudden, I'm making bargains with God. If you heal me, God, then I will go and I will be a missionary in those places.
Yeah.
Now, something else that we must notice as well, and this is something of sometimes God actually can answer the prayer and it might not be the best thing for us necessarily. And this has happened. I mean, many people will go to somebody like Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was then, he was told, you're going to die. And he turns his face to the wall in depression and he calls out to God. He asks God that he would live. And God answers his prayer and gives him another 10 years to live. But in those 10 years of Hezekiah's life, he lived in a wicked way.
Yeah.
It would have been better for him to have actually gone 10 years before that.
Yeah.
So sometimes even the answer of these prayers might not be the very best thing for us. I think of this even regarding this one dear brother in our church. Some of the difficulties that he's been facing, the Lord has been able to use those for God's glory in his family in ways that you cannot imagine because of the kindness of God, even inside of that trial.
All right.
And this is something of the beauty of God, is that God is able to take those weakest points in our lives and receive glory.
All right.
And that's even more glorious, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you look at Israel. And God does this throughout the scriptures.
Yeah.
I mean, we think to ourselves, what is that little country, Israel? And it's the very center point of the world. But he says to them, I found you naked in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I clothed you. I looked after you. I didn't choose you because you were a great nation. I chose you because you were the least of the nations.
Yeah.
You were the weakest of all the nations. I've chosen you to make my name great. And that's part of what God's desire is to make himself great amongst the nations and in this world. And that is right of God to do because he's most glorious.
All right. I want to keep this person, also anonymous here, posted the following. People are drowning, dying, and religious folks are preaching and sharing scriptures. Please wake up. Isn't it the word of God that says it cuts unto bone and marrow? Is it wrong to share scriptures when people are drowning, dying? This person also says it's time for humanity to wake up, ignoring the facts and quoting scriptures. Please stop with that. Let me just find it there again. Satan, it won't stop Satan and his disciples harvesting souls. I'm keeping this person anonymous here. What do we answer an individual like that, Rocky?
Yeah, you know, when you think about the way in which the world is dying and the way that people are drowning and the difficulties that people are going through, it is because of the very fact that people have ignored God. They have gone their own way. They have gone towards destruction. As the proverb says twice, there's a way that seems right in a man's eyes, but its end is destruction. In fact, what the world needs most is to turn towards God, like the people of Nineveh's day, that as you know, as Jonah came in there after having been swallowed by the whale, and he gives them basically a few words in Hebrew as a sermon, and it was repent. And they are called on to repent. And notice also throughout all of the scriptures, all of the prophets, what John the Baptist did, what Jesus did, he was calling on people to repent
the
of their
of
dead
God,
religiosity.
Yeah.
So where I can agree with something of what has been said by this person sending these comments is indeed there's much dead religiosity in our world, which turns Jesus off as well and turns God off. He's not interested in somebody that has the outside of the cup that is clean, but the inside is rotting bones.
Yeah.
He speaks of that regarding the Pharisees, and the Pharisees behaved like that. They behaved all religiously outside, the scribes as well. They knew the scriptures, and they lived in such a way that was displeasing to God. No, God is after having a heart that serves him and honors him and exalts him. Now, it is by the scriptures that we come to know Jesus, and Jesus, we come to know the Father. So indeed, I mean, in a time like this and in the world that we are in, I think the person, a person needs to wake up to God and wake up to the reality of who God is. And notice even what happened with the judgment, and this person is referred to the world is flooding. If we think about what had happened even in Jonah's day in Genesis chapter 6, and you notice how the thoughts and the intentions of man's heart was wicked continually. That is the judgment that God had on the earth at that time. But Noah found favor right, yeah, in favor. The eyes of the Lord. Because of his righteousness. And he was, by the way, a preacher of righteousness for 120 years as he built the ark. He was preaching righteousness. Noah actually did exactly this. He was giving the scriptures even to people that were going to perish. But that was God's mercy on those people, that the scriptures were given. But what were the people doing? Even until the day that the flood broke out, they were marrying, they were taking in marriage, they were eating, they were drinking, they were living normal as though God was not in existence. They were not walking with God. That which mankind needs the most is to walk with God. And how can man walk with God other than by the scriptures coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ?
Romans 10 says it clearly. How can somebody come to the knowledge of God unless he's a preacher? How beautiful is the feet of those who bring the gospel, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah. And even just based on a comment like this from our listener, is that indeed it is the world that does need to wake up to the reality of who God is. Yeah. And much of the difficulties that the world is facing, and I'm reminded even what happens, the disciples come to Jesus, they talk, and I'm not remembering the exact scripture reference at this moment. Maybe it will come to me. They come to him, they say, what about that, you know, the blood of the Galileans that was mixed with the offering that Pilate did? And Jesus then talks about that tower at Siloam that fell and killed 18. And he says, do you think that you're any more special than that? Unless you repent, so you will perish too. You know, none of us are deserving of the loving kindness and the mercy of God. Each one of us, because of our sin, the wages of our sin is death. We need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior, and we must turn to that Savior so that we might live. That is true waking up. Kind of like in those days, what happened with Moses and the serpents, the fiery serpents that were biting the people of Israel. Yeah. And he lifted up that bronze serpent, and they were to look to that bronze serpent to live. So our Lord Jesus has become sin for us so that we might look to him and live. And that is the reality that the scriptures highlight. Now, of course, we could quote a whole bunch of passages, and I think that would be a level of foolishness to a degree. We can lift up a whole bunch of passages out of their context. Yeah. That would be foolish. But we must give Jesus to the people.
But I must confess here, Rocky, many times programs like this, somebody would quote scripture, and for some unknown reason, it hooks onto my heart, and I go and look it up. There is the story of the person who was sick in bed in hospital, literally in a coma, and somebody came in, and all he did was reading Psalms 107 and verse 20. And this person actually grabbed onto one verse. Just that one verse, and it brings hope into your heart. The word of God, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it cuts unto bone and marrow.
Yes.
You know, discerning the heart and the intents of the heart.
You see, there's a deeper reality that we don't get. And I think this is, C.S. Lewis uses the terminology. He talks about this being the shadowlands.
Yeah.
And I think that is a good terminology, because we sometimes are so focused on the physical things that we forget about the spiritual reality of exactly what you've said there regarding God's word.
Yeah.
Cuts between joint and marrow, between soul and spirit, discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart.
Yeah.
And like you say, God in his mercy, I mean, his word never returns to him a void.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that people have, let's say, an inner disdain for the word of God is this reason, and John 3 verse 19 teaches us this. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but the people have loved darkness.
Yeah.
And God's word reveals that which is inside of the heart. And many a time, somebody doesn't quite like God's word because it makes them to feel guilty. Now, ask yourself the question, why does God's word make you feel guilty? If you don't believe that there's power in God's word, because you've been telling yourself that there's no power in God's word, then why are you having such a violent reaction against God's word?
Right.
That's because God's word is living and active, and you are rebelling against your better let's say, your better understandings within your conscience that there is right, there is wrong, there is God, there is evil, there is Satan, there is Jesus, there is, these things are reality. The heavens declare the glory of God.
All right.
So even if you are to shut up the scriptures, you would have to shut up all of reality in regard to the fact that God is absolutely mighty and above all things.
The Lord said the stones would cry out. The stones would cry out. 082-657-2729. The telephone number in studio. You want to take part in this program. Ons het nog so 'n paar minute oor. Baie dankie vir al die vrae wat inkom. Joshua Aaron, Gadol, Elohai. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. Dankie dat jy deelneem aan die program. Dankie dat jy bid vir ons. Dankie vir die positiewe kommentaar wat ons sien ook op WhatsApp en op Facebook. You want to meet Pastor Rocky? He's on Facebook. He's on YouTube channel. You can meet us there. But first, let's go for some music. The authority says we must play music as well. In 082-657-272. What an incredible song this is. Gadol Elohai. How great is our God. The All Mercy, the All Majestic, Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, the God of our Bible, the God of the prophets of old, the God that we worship on this radio station, the God of our Bible, the God of Radio Pulpit. Good morning to you, skriftierlik, tot en met 12 uur vanmiddag. Rocky, we've got literally 4-5 minutes left. Received a question from somebody that said, sadly, I have encountered believers that speaks in tongues and also has vulgar lips. What a sad and disappointment this is. The Jesus film that starts with these words, what a dying and unbelieving world cannot believe, is that there are people who confess Jesus with their lips and deny him with their lifestyle. How important is it that we are doers of the word? In fact, the Bible instructs us to be doers of the word, isn't it?
Yes, no, indeed. I think that we do have a scriptural elements that we can look at regarding this. Part of what we want to see, even with the usage of any of the gifts, is towards the edification of the body of Christ. And that's how Paul even speaks of this. I would encourage the listener to go and study what Paul teaches about regarding this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14. We see this in particular chapter 13 speaks of that love passage, which isn't actually the best sermon for a wedding, because it is a rebuke from the Apostle Paul regarding the fact that the church at Corinth was not practicing the gifts in a spiritual manner. And here's one thing that I could say regarding this, is that you might have spiritual gifts, but those spiritual gifts need to be dealt with in a spiritual manner. So you could have lots of spiritual gifts, and that was exactly the case of the Corinthian church. They had loads of spiritual gifts, but they weren't spiritual regarding the spiritual gifts. And that's where it's important for us to not only have the words, but also to have the actions that match those words. And the Bible is constantly speaking about the conduct. And I've just done a sermon on Sunday night regarding 1 Timothy 3 and the end part of 1 Timothy 3. And Paul's concern, even for the church at Ephesus, through Timothy, who he left as the pastor there, was that they knew how to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the pillar and the buttress of the truth. And so we need to be able to conduct ourselves in such a way that our speech matches the way that we live. The Bible is very concerned about this. And
right.
Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we know how to be spiritual with the spiritual gifts, and the scriptures uphold that. So indeed, right, as our listener says, what a sad reality when somebody claims that they have some element of spirituality,
but by their fruit,
they're actually not known to be that. And what we must realize as well is that there are many deceivers, and there are many that are deceived.
Yeah.
There's broad path and there's a narrow path.
Yeah.
There's many that might even say, Lord, Lord, on that day.
Frightening
but he says,
scripture.
Get away from me, for I never knew you.
Yeah.
Because they are not being spiritual about that which they claim to have as spiritual.
All right. Rocky, in closing, for somebody listening to this program, what does the Bible say? How do I turn to this God? How do I find this Lord? Where do I find this Lord? How do I submit to him?
Yeah, look, the Bible teaches us that we must call upon the name of the Lord and we will be saved. We look to him, we must seek him, we must, and then we will find him. We must knock, and then the door will be opened unto us. There must be this longing within us to get to know who God is. And Romans 10 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe on your in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and such an individual will be saved. It's not about how much you know, it's about knowing him that knows all things. And if we are to know anything at all, we must know the one that knows all things, and that's Jesus our Lord. And we turn to him with full believing faith, trusting in the fact that he is the one that is sufficient for us to be born again because of his perfect life, his perfect work at the cross. And when that has happened, then we begin to walk in that newness of life. And then we become disciples of Jesus. So many a times I think people stay away because they think they need to know so much. Don't worry about knowing so much. Worry about knowing him who knows all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you walk with him, then you're a disciple of his. And then the basic reality of the daily life of the Christian is a faithful response to a faithful God by taking one step after the next step of saying yes to Jesus. And when you say yes to Jesus, then by definition, you say no to the world, you say no to Satan, and you say no to the flesh. This whole cheap grace thing that we see in our world today, where you say yes to anything you want to say yes to, actually is saying no to Jesus. You don't want to be saying no to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus, and then you say no to all of these other things by definition.
We've literally got a minute. Can you close for us in a prayer, please?
I can. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for what we've looked at in your word, and I do pray that we would be a people that honor you with our lips, honor you with our eyes, honor you with our ears, honor you with our whole lives, because you have taught us this in your word, that we are to present our bodies before you as living sacrifices because of what you have done for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way that you redeem a people unto yourself, those that look to you, those that know that they are sinners, that know that they need a Savior, and that Jesus is the Savior for sinners. And I do pray that if there be anybody today that hears this message and knows that they are not right with you in their conscience and in their heart of hearts, that they would look to you, Lord, so that they might live. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. Rocky, time has come to an end. Flip says, what guy is it that you're talking about? Flip, it's not 10 years, it's 15 years, and it's King Hezekiah, isn't it?
Yes, King Hezekiah.
All right, Flip, so there's the answer to your question. Hy vra wie is die persoon wat julle aangehaal het. 15 jaar tot sy lewe bygevoeg. There's a responsibility with listening to a program such as Skriftelik that you have to go and search the scriptures now to make sure that these things are so. Rocky, somebody wants to write to you. How do they get hold of you?
You're welcome to email me at pastor@benonibiblechurch.co.za.
pastor@benonibiblechurch.co.za. If the Lord tarries, we live in the end times. Seek the Lord's face any possible way that you can, but most of all, through his word. Till next time, keep well. God bless you. Shalom.